Grass is fine if you've got a cut or 4 feet and stand in the mud. But we've got two and teeth to chew. Don't give us none of that vegetarian stew. We're carnivores and we ain't ashamed. The reason's simple, it's in the refrain. We feed you.
Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 22 of Weed All About It, or what I'm calling the Commission's Business. Although commissioners do more than come up with an annual budget for the organization, the task is always at the forefront of their minds, and I'll get to that process in the second half of the podcast. But first, I wanted to bring you commissioners' observations on how this year's crop is shaping up. No one mentioned the phrase bin buster during the Washington Grain Commission's annual meeting, May 16th and 17th, but based on commissioners' long experience watching the progress of the winter wheat crop, it sounded like a definite possibility. Several commissioners talked about a possible double crop, meaning at least some farmers may harvest as much in a single season as they would ordinarily get in two. In a normal year, if there is such a thing anymore, combines would begin rolling into fields around Connell soon after the 4th of July. But this is not a normal year. Cool weather and the abundance of rains that have fallen this spring have slowed the crop's maturity. As for spring grains, well, them are fighting words. At the May meeting, Commissioner Farmers spoke of a landscape littered with tractors and drills for seeding stuck in muddy fields. As commissioners meant, the National Agricultural Statistics Service released a report that put spring wheat planting in Washington at 81% complete, compared to 97% complete the year before. Though farmers may gripe at the difficulties of getting their spring crops planted, you won't find any dryland wheat growers sticking up their nose at the extra moisture we've received this year. Mike Miller, chairman of the Grain Commission, said puddles are always a welcome sight on his farms near Ritzville.
Speaking on my farm where it's located, I'll always deal with puddles. We're usually the center or at least on the leading edge of dust storms. So you can handle moisture. It comes with disease. It comes with those type of things, stuck tractors. Those are things that you can still address. When it's dry, there is no way to mitigate the damage. It is what it is.
So economically, things might not be real good, but agronomically, they're looking real good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If the plant has a chance to do its thing because it's wet and you have a Mother Nature on its side, that's a good thing. In just a short period of time, we've gone from probably one of the driest ever on my farm, west of Ritzville, where we had 3.5 inches of moisture in 12 months, to where we picked that up in 1 week. So I'll take these problems, even though they can be expensive.
One of the few places drier than Ritzville is the area that Dana Herron represents, which includes Franklin and Benton counties. Farmers in the region are known for growing crops on single-digit moisture. Not this year.
At least in Franklin County, I know for a fact we're breaking a 114-year record for rainfall. Well, the simple math is for every inch of rain over and above 4 inches that you get on an existing wheat crop, it's worth, depending on where you farm, 5 to 7 bushels per acre. Just with that math alone, our county average is 34 bushels. Most of the county will double that, and there are places that will cut 80, 90 bushel wheat in Franklin County this year. That's good because volume always helps, but price is the component we never have control over, and that's unfortunate. We may have to live with this price for the next couple of years.
In the southeast corner of Washington, where Steve Clausen farms, the crop at this stage of its development is not just exceptional, it's once in a lifetime.
At this point in time, I think the crop that we have in southeast drier portions of Washington is the best that I've ever seen. Has the best potential for the biggest crop that I've seen in my farming career.
So what's the best yield you've ever had down there?
Oh, in the 70s, probably.
And so you're looking to surpass that, I mean, at this point in time?
Well, on an overall picture, maybe. You know, we've had wheat that certain fields did that, or, you know. But overall, yeah, I think it's got potential to be at that level or better.
Gary Bailey, who represents Whitman County on the commission, said conditions on the Palouse are also looking good, but the abundant moisture does come with a drawback.
It's obvious with all the moisture we've had that some of the fertilizer's gotten away, so we still have some yellowing, but the foundation's there, and I think we're going to have a good, solid crop.
Is that going to be enough to put a smile on farmers' faces, given the price that we're receiving right now?
I think in some areas, in talking to different people, they may have a double crop. Well, that cuts your cost of production per bushel in half, so they'll be smiling. Those in other areas that are expecting a more average crop, it's still, we're still looking for a little price increase.
Miller agrees that even low prices can't take the shine off a really good harvest.
Anytime you have optimism in a reward form of a crop, it's smiling. It's when the combine pulls into the field and within the first half hour, you know that you're going to have a bad harvest. Those are the ones that drag on for years. When you pull into the combine and you open up a field on July 10th, per se, and you cut a mile and your combine's full, or a half a mile, wherever you may be, and then you're going to be optimistic, and that's going to transfer all the way into your decision-making process for the rest of the growing season.
Ty Jessup is grain merchandiser at Central Washington Grain Growers and the Elevator Industries representative on the board. He spoke of a wheat market that is dealing with an abundance of inventory, referred to as carryout, with China as the wild card.
The world has a large carryout of wheat this year, which makes it difficult for the markets to recover at this point in time.
And what about China? China holds almost 50% of the world stockpile of wheat. There is some thought that perhaps China doesn't have the wheat they say they have.
China is always a wild card. Their reporting practices aren't up to the standard of the USDA, so there's always uncertainty on what they actually are carrying or not carrying.
What are you looking for here in the next 2 or 3 years in terms of price? Are we going to remain range-bound in that $4.50 to $5 a bushel range?
2 to 3 years is too long of a stretch to predict. The world is definitely year to year, depending on crop size and the carryouts. So it's kind of a 1 year to 1 year, depending on what the crops do.
The May meeting of the Washington Grain Commission is the meeting where commissioners approve the budget for the next fiscal year, which begins on July 1st. Although it is known as the 2017-2018 budget, to a very real degree, commissioners work on the budget year-round, so final approval at the May meeting is somewhat anticlimactic. Last year's budget, following on the heels of two consecutive subpar harvests, came in at nearly $5.3 million, with commissioners dipping into reserves about $900,000. This year's budget is $6.3 million, thanks both to a 2016 harvest that generated additional income, and commissioners again dipping into reserves, this time to the tune of about $1 million. I ask Miller the board's philosophy when it comes to reserves and how long dipping into them could be kept up.
The sentiment is we're only halfway through the stream. We can't just trim a budget because we feel like we don't want to go into the reserves. We have reserves. We have to utilize them. Whether it will be a falling numbers project, which we've taken very seriously because that's a financial hit through our state and to the grower and through the ports, to increasing trade team visits, because that's where you start to get new markets developed, is you have to begin the dating process.
Do we have enough money in reserve to do this next year?
The next 3 months is probably going to dictate a lot of that, Scott. During the summer months, and especially post-harvest, you start to make those, that starts to create your thought process, is what are the seeding conditions like? You start thinking 9 months ahead of schedule then. And you ask a lot of questions. You go to your local law firm and you ask, you know, what are your farmers going through? And you get feedback there. You go visit to the banks. You go have coffee with them as they get in small towns. And you start to develop that is okay. We still have a reserve, but we have to assess the planting conditions. Once the wheat comes out of the ground in September or our November meeting, that's really when we start to decide, how deep do we go? Where is that comfort level?
Washington Grain Commission CEO Glenn Squires said reserves are a product of commissioners' foresight during good times. Like Miller, he believes they are designed to provide continuity through times that are not as good.
The reserves are there to keep continuity in projects and undertake research and marketing. And so there are reserves. We're fortunate to be able to have those reserves to address issues that need to be addressed. Some commissions don't have any reserves. They just don't have the capacity to maintain projects.
In addition to all the usual categories funded by farmers' assessment income, the commission assigned a potential $500,000 to investigating the falling numbers phenomenon at the May meeting. For those of you who may not recognize the phrase, it has nothing to do with prices. To make short shrift of a very long story, falling numbers is a discountable specification caused by weather that is estimated to have cost Washington growers somewhere between $30 million and $130 million last year. Although the commission has invested in falling numbers research for the last 4 years, the $500,000 it has earmarked for potential falling numbers projects in 2017-18 is the most yet. Squires said all of the money may or may not be spent, depending on the quality and potential of the projects that are submitted for evaluation.
The falling number thing came onto the radar screen last year. The commission immediately began working with other states to identify an effort nationally to get funding. We got National Association of Wheat Growers on board. We got U.S. Wheat on board. The three PNW states have gone to try to get increased funding for ARS and even increased funding for NIFA, NIFA grants, but that may not be enough, and who knows when that'll materialize. And so in this budget, they realize we've got to address these issues. I think this falling number funding really follows on the heels of the falling number summit, where all the research community came together. They identified the short-term goals, the medium-term goals, the long-term goals, what are the gaps? And so we begin to identify those things. Now we need to address them. And the way you address that is by setting some funding aside, get some requests for proposals, try to get some matching funds. And so if nothing ever materializes on the federal side, well, we're in the process. We're trying to address the problem because it is a problem. And the commissioners recognize that, and they want to put resources towards solving the problem for the farmers.
Tell me about the balancing act that commissioners have between identifying money for research and identifying money for marketing.
The marketing effort is to help sell the crop, making sure that we developing new markets, but also we got to maintain the current markets that we have. And so they recognize that there needs to be funding available for marketing. And we try to partner, obviously, with other states in that regard. And some of the increased funding is projects through U.S. Wheat Associates, bringing teams to the PNW. And the commissioners recognize that it's important to grow and be profitable for the grower, to grow a crop. They also recognize that you got to sell what you produce. And so in the strategic plan, the growers have identified that marketing is just as important as research.
The commission's complete budget will be on our website in June, but the rundown looks like this. In addition to the $500,000 earmarked for falling numbers research, 26 other projects bring research spending to $2.4 million, or just over 38% of the budget. Market development is just shy of 20% of the budget at $1.2 million. Education information, which includes $382,000 for the Wheat Week educational program, came in at $537,000, or 8.5% of the budget. And grower services, which includes contracts worth $542,000 with the Washington Association of Wheat Growers, was set at $913,000, or nearly 14.5% of the budget. Although commissioners were very optimistic about crop conditions at their May meeting, it's important to note that on May 1st, the National Agricultural Statistics Service forecast the 2017 winter wheat harvest to average 67 bushels an acre, down 11 bushels an acre from 2016. Who's right? In just a couple of months, we'll know for sure. On a side note, this is the first podcast in which I've directly reported on a Grain Commission meeting. As Director of Communications and Producer Relations at the Commission, but also as a former reporter whose role it was to cover the Grain Commission, I was curious about navigating my role as an employee while maintaining my credibility as a human being. I'm happy to report it wasn't difficult. Commissioners not only respect the need to communicate with their constituents, they are incredibly supportive of new means to make that connection. The podcast you are listening to right now is the result of a commissioner's comment about being too busy to read everything he should. I figured others were in the same boat, and voila, Wheat All About It was born. More recently, we have added a social media component to the commission's messaging effort. Joe Bippert, program director at the commission, has taken on our social media efforts, and the Washington Grain Commission now has a presence on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The former can be found at Washington Grain Commission, the latter two at Washington Grain. Got that? At Washington Grain. For those of you who have been following the podcast at the Wheat All About It Facebook page, we are closing that down. I urge those of you who followed us there to continue to do so at the Washington Grain Commission Facebook page, as well as on Twitter and Instagram. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you early adopters out there listening to this podcast. As with everything in life, there are those on the cutting edge and those who are not. Congratulations for adopting this new technology as a means to stay in touch with your industry. But please, we need to bring others inside the tent. When you're sitting at the cafe with friends, driving with employees in your truck, across from the parts man at the tractor dealer, or drinking coffee after church, use this podcast, episode 22, The Commission's Business, as a topic of conversation. Then show them how easy it is to enter the 21st century by going to wagrains.org, that's W-A-Grains with an S, .org, and scrolling to the bottom of the page. Or better yet, get a subscription on iTunes at Wheat All About It.
Don't like chemicals, don't like killing. Look in your kitchen, the story there's chilling. Plant food, Windex, mouse bait too. Mr. Clean, easy off, even pet shampoo. You want to be a hypocrite? Just forget to have the shit. We feed you.